and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry on the king's business, to put into the king's treasuries. Esther chapter 3, verse 9. 10,000 talents of silver. That was 375 tons of silver. In that day, Persia used silver as its monetary standard. So that represented a lot of loot. Where would Haman get it? Probably from the homes and possessions he would confiscate once he killed the Jews. Then the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. Esther chapter 3, verse 10. Which is like giving your MasterCard to your associate and saying, "Ring it up." The king's signet ring contained an inscription that was the unique official seal. With it, he signed decrees and other documents by impressing the seal on clay, giving them his sanction. For example, an edict would be written on a scroll. The scroll would be rolled up and sealed shut with a small wad of soft clay. Then the king would press his signet ring into the clay, leaving the impression of the inscription. This meant, "Let it be written," or "Let it be done." That was the significance of the ring he gave to Haman. In acquiescing, the king literally stamped his official approval on this hideous plan, a plan that would include the Jewish queen, Esther, herself, though at the time he had no knowledge of that. When an evil plan gets underway, there are always unknown areas of wickedness no one thinks about ahead of time. And the king said to Haman, "The silver is yours, and the people also, to do with them as you please." Esther chapter 3, verse 11. Again, there are overtones here that sound a lot like Hitler in the 1930s, aren't there? What has happened to Ahasuerus that he can say with the wave of his mind, "Just finish them off"? It's almost more than our minds can imagine. However, before we turn our thoughts to Hitler or other evil madmen of the ages, let's get painfully honest and look a little closer to home. Are you nursing a grudge? Do you have someone's face on your dartboard? To help prompt an answer, may I make a suggestion? Folks like a former spouse, former pastor, former roommate, a church that offended you, an organization that took unfair advantage of you, a boss, a coach, someone you revered and trusted who used you and or abused you? Do you have someone who has made life difficult for you and has never made it right? And although they are now out of your life, physically absent, the incident in the past is still vivid in your memory, deepening your determination to hold on to them. If such is true, unless I miss my guess here, you entertain thoughts like, "Someday, someway, I'll get back." This nursing of anger, this lingering grudge, this deliberate refusal to forgive festers and grows. It's silent. Oh, it's silent and so deadly. Haman is an adult by the time we meet him. We don't know how old he is, but given his position, he's no teenager. And he comes into this official position ready to pounce. This is his moment and he's going to take it. Life and pain are synonymous. We cannot escape the pain. And if we're not careful, that pain can cause us to carry out the most heinous of sins. Our courts are filled with terrible criminal cases. Stalkers, slashers, terrorists, abusers, murderers, even serial killers. We read of a man who has killed 60 people, murdered them in the most gruesome of ways. We watch him sit in court and smile through his trial and we think, what an animal. And so he may be. But what is easy to ignore is this. The same animal-like nature resides in me and it resides in you. It is wicked to the core. It is vile beyond belief. And were it not for the presence of grace and the miraculous deliverance of Jesus Christ at work within us, controlling our passions and urging us to forgive and move on, it would consume us, and we would kill and not give it a second thought. How absolutely powerless we are to solve our own inner problem of evil. Were not the power of the Holy Spirit given to me in daily doses, literally moment-by-moment doses, my grudges, my lack of forgiveness, could grow into thoughts that would shock you, and yours would shock me. That's what happened to Haman. That's why he could devise his wicked plan. That's why he could commit this evil without a second thought. He had no inner power from the living God to stop him, to help him get rid of his hatred and prejudice, to live above revenge's powerful grip. As a result, he pressed on without hesitation, without a hint of restraint or glimmer of guilt. Then the king's scribes were summoned on the 13th day of the first month, and it was written just as Haman commanded to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, and to the princes of each people, each province according to its script,